The following program is brought to you by the friends and partners of Worship Anew.
Welcome to Worship Anew, coming to you from the Wolf Chapel and the home of Lutheran Ministries Media.
The bridegroom soon will call us. Come to the wedding feast. May slumber not befall us, nor watchfulness decrease. May all our lamps be burning with oil enough and more, that we, with him returning, may find an open door. Foolishness and wisdom, two contrasting ideas against which all our past, present, and future actions will be judged. We may ask, why was I so foolish in that situation? Or reflect, looking back on things, that was a really wise decision. In our spiritual lives, foolishness is not about what we do, but is simply tied to unbelief, while wisdom equates not with some sage action on our part, but with faith in Christ our Savior. Pastor Shane Yonker leads our worship this day as he relates the parable of the 10 virgins and their foolishness and wisdom. Please join us as Lutheran Ministries Media invites you to worship with us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our first reading on this 23rd Sunday after Pentecost is Psalm 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame, who say, aha, aha. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Yeah.
Our epistle is written in the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, beginning with the 13th verse. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring him with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The Holy Gospel is written in the 25th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the first verse. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom. Come out and meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Here endeth the gospel. Let us confess together our common Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Yeah.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text this morning, it is the gospel heard read from the 25th chapter of St. Matthew. Here again, the 13th verse. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Now today, we are three Sundays away from the last Sunday on the church's calendar, and so we are nearing the end of all things. That day, that last day, when Jesus appears in great glory as King and Judge, suddenly and without warning, like a groom arriving for the wedding party at that crazy hour of midnight. And today, we heard the parable of the 10 virgins. But this parable isn't about good girls and bad girls. This is about the wise and the foolish. This isn't about morality, but faith. In the language of the scriptures, to be wise is to be believing. It is to be trusting. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, says the psalmist. To be foolish is to be unbelieving. Again, the psalmist says, for it's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. Now the foolish, they took their lamps with them to meet the bridegroom, but they didn't take the extra oil. The wise, however, took flasks of extra oil along with their lamps. Now to be clear here in this parable, the oil represents faith. Now the foolish, they looked downright sophisticated with their cute little wedding lamps nestled in their perfectly manicured fingers. They're confident and they're carefree. And they go about their lives as though the wedding were just another thing on their list of things to do. Go shopping, get the hair done, go to the movie, and then go to the wedding. Well, the wise, they look kind of foolish, if not a little unfashionable, lugging around those unsightly flasks of extra oil. I mean, what kind of look is that, carrying around those heavy jugs? They act as if this wedding were the most important thing in their lives, the only thing that really matters. How foolish the waiting, watchful church looks. How foolish you baptized believers appear, watching and waiting for Jesus. How foolish to get up on a Sunday morning to hear God's word preached to you when you could just as easily read it on your own. How foolish to hear the forgiveness of your sins when you already know you're forgiven. How foolish to eat and drink just a bit of bread and a sip of wine, believing it to be the body and blood of your Savior Jesus Christ. How foolish to pray, praise, and give thanks when there are surely more important things to do. How foolish to give offerings to God when there are just so many things of which to spend our money. How foolish of the church to be more focused on the coming of the new creation than the problems of this old creation. How unfashionable it is to speak of sin and sacrifice, atoning blood, forgiveness of sins, when the world wants to be purpose-driven and successful. How silly of the church to preach Christ crucified for the sins of the world, knowing full well that the world clamors for the miracles, the celebrity, and the entertainment. All of it is just unfashionably silly and out of place in the world of religion, just as unfashionably silly as carrying around an extra jar full of olive oil. The rest of the religious world thinks we're nuts for believing that we are justified before God entirely by his undeserved kindness, his grace, all because of Jesus' perfect life, his death and his resurrection, and not because of anything we do. That's crazy talk. Everyone knows you have to earn your own salvation, right? Atone for your own sins, pursue your own path to enlightenment. We're considered a ship of fools who come to the church not to be motivated, not to be entertained, not to be uplifted or challenged, but simply forgiven. We die in order to live. We even mock death in view of our resurrection to eternal life. We esteem Christ instead of ourselves. We even bury our dead in the hope and the sure confidence of the resurrection of the body. And we dare to come into the presence of God, not boasting about all the great things that we have done for God lately, but admitting that we are a bunch of sinners who can't get anything right, even when we try. And the world, it just simply shakes its head at us as we wait for Jesus to appear again. But in the end, when the midnight wake-up cry goes out, those who looked foolish turn out to be wise, while those who appeared so wise wind up looking terribly foolish, running around in the middle of the night looking for oil, looking for faith that can't be found, finding a closed door to a party for which they had an invitation, and instead hearing the terrible words of exclusion, "I don't know you." You see, they were invited. They were part of the wedding party. They had a place at the table. But in their foolish unbelief, they're no longer recognizable to the bridegroom. The folly of their foolishness lies in their figuring. You see, they figured they knew the hour when the groom would make his appearance. They figured they had enough oil to last well into the evening. What they hadn't figured was that the groom would be delayed, that they would fall asleep, that the groom would show up at midnight. They hadn't figured that he would show up so quickly and unexpectedly, that there would be no second chance, no opportunity to strike a deal with some oil merchant, only a closed door and an exclusion. Eternally foolish. You know neither the day nor the hour. That is Jesus' last word on the timing of the last day. And it puts an end to all of our calculations and our speculations. We're simply not given to know the times or the seasons. And every attempt, every single attempt to predict the day and the hour for this late, great planet Earth has amounted to nothing, nothing but false prophecy. Although delay can bring a false sense of security. You see, Jesus didn't come yesterday. He hasn't appeared today yet, and likely he won't appear tomorrow, right? So there's always time, we say. Isn't there? God's way of time is not the same as ours. Now, God, of course, is not slow in coming. He's patient. He's merciful. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. But let no one say there's always more time, for you do not know that day nor the hour. Again, you do not know the day nor the hour. Because Jesus wants his church on alert, wide awake, watchful, ready for that cry at any hour, day or night. Indeed, God is rich in his mercy. The forgiveness and life that Jesus hung on the cross to win for the world, he gives out in not just one way, but many. In baptism, in the proclaimed forgiveness of our sins, in the Lord's Supper, in the Word as it is preached and read. There is more forgiveness and life and salvation in Christ's church than you and I could ever imagine. There's more Jesus in the Word and the sacrament than we could ever need. Enough forgiveness and life to keep our lamps burning until that last day. And only an unbelieving fool would say, "That's enough forgiveness and life for me. I don't need any more Jesus." For one's refusal of the gifts of God to sustain and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting is foolish, and it leads only to eternal death. Now, the wise virgins knew in whom they hoped and for whom they waited. They lived and they slept in the confidence of their bridegroom's coming. They knew he was coming. They just didn't know when. You too know. You too know for whom you wait, and he knows you. He is the one who died on a cross for you, who rose from the grave for you, who sits enthroned in majesty, living and reigning for you. He's the one who baptized you, who forgives you, who feeds you his body and his blood, who anoints you with his spirit. More oil than you could possibly burn in an eternity. To live as the wise in faith is to live in the hope and expectation of Jesus' coming day. Whether that day is today, tomorrow, or the next day, you can live. You can live and sleep and die in the confidence of him who once came for you by manger and a cross, who now comes to you by word and supper, and who will come again in glory on that last day to raise you from the dead unto eternal life. That day is coming soon. Christ is coming soon and quickly. He comes without warning, but you don't need a warning because you already know. And such faith may seem foolish, but when Christ, who is God's wisdom in the flesh, makes his appearance on the last day, your faith will be proven wise. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, send forth your Son to lead home his bride, the church, that with all the company of the redeemed, we may finally enter into his eternal wedding feast. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please join me in praying the prayer that our Lord teaches us boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Oh,
Thank you for worshiping with us today. It is you whom Jesus loves, and it is for you that we provide this ministry. If you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, please feel free to write or call us. You can be assured that we value your comments and want to share in your joys and sorrows. You can use our toll-free number, 1-888-286-8002, or contact us at worshipanew.org. I'm Eric Kaczynski, and I want you to know how very important you are to us, but far more important to our Father in heaven. Thank you for being a part of our worship together.
Worship Anew is produced weekly from the Wolf Chapel and Elsie Rossman Media Center on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, where pastors have been preparing for the ministry since 1846.